don't know about you, but God has already helped me out through the Sunday school hour. I'm just going to, I'll tell you a little story here real quick. Listen, if y'all don't want me to be your pastor, Lord, you just let me know. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. I said, probably 2 weeks ago, me and Brother Jim, he's a fisherman, Jim DeLucia, he's a fisherman. He said, we got to get out sometime and go fishing. Right? I said, all right, well, I'm not an experienced fisher. All I know is you put something on a hook and you throw it out there, right? So he's like, listen, I'm going to take you fishing. We're going to go out there in some beautiful areas in Pennsylvania. I said, well, amen, brother. I love nature. I love going on hikes. I love being out in the woods. I could live out in the woods. Me and him were talking about it. I had a wonderful time with him. So we get out there in the middle of nowhere, right? He shows me this nice little place where you probably go swimming. And he said, well, now we're going to go fishing. So he took me across the road, went down in the woods, and we went up to where there was a railroad track. So we come up there. I mean, we haven't even been on the ground for 2 minutes. We get up near the railroad track, and there's like an abandoned bridge where the railroad track was over top of. And I look to the left, and he's looking out that. I look to the left, and I said, that's a bear. He looks around, and he says, that looks like a, I said, that's a bear. And not only was it a bear, it was a big bear. Listen, when that man who spent all these years in the woods says that's probably the biggest bear he's seen in the woods, and I ain't even been in with him for 2 minutes, and now he's bringing me up on a bear, I don't know how many of y'all paid him, but I was thinking, man, I bet you I could run faster than Brother Jim. Thinking, how are we gonna? I was praying, like he was just wandering down the road. He didn't look back at me. Lord, I said, please go turn around and look back at us. I said, please just keep on walking that way. But yeah, that was a big bear. I had never seen a bear other than in a zoo. And usually at zoos, they got bars or some place where they can't get to. This thing could have got to me. But I'm thankful. Listen, I'm thankful for the time I spent with Brother Jim. It was a blessing to be out there in the woods and just spend some time with him. And you know, we were talking about there's no way you can believe in evolution. You go out there and you see the order, you see the structure, you see the minutest details that God's put into his creation. There's no way that it just happened. And I'll tell you this, we'll get going on here with the services. My preacher back home said this one time. He says, if you're ever feeling down, you're ever feeling out, wait till night falls, and then you go outside and just look up at all the stars up there. And you'll realize how good God is and how much God cares for you and how much God loves you. So I appreciate you taking me out, Brother Jim. Just a little funny story there. I got to see a bear. Didn't catch no fish, but I got to see a bear. I'd almost rather catch some fish than see the bear. And hopefully that'll be the last bear I ever see. Right? Is that a dog? No, that ain't no dog. That's a big dog. That's a dog. Yeah. Well, amen. Amen, brother. You come on up here.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see each and every one of you here this morning. Hey, I got something. As we turn to hymn number 169, I got a question for you. If you're a Christian here today, and God saved you, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Oh, I mean, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand. We'll sing 169. Now, we're going to do something a little different here this morning. You have probably done this before, but I just want to explain it. In the chorus, when we get to the chorus of There's Power in the Blood on 169, when we sing the first verse, we're going to sing, you know, there's power in the blood. We'll sing it once and through the whole chorus. Second verse, we'll sing, there's power in the blood. Third verse, we'll sing it three times. And guess what we're going to do on the fourth verse? Four times. So get a deep breath. Get ready. Get ready and sing it out for the glory of God here this morning.
Power. grateful that we bring us here today, that we can worship you, Lord. We just give thanks to you for all your wonderful blessings that you bestow upon us. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who finished work at Calvary. We pray that anyone that's not saved, that they would get saved today before they leave this church. We pray, Lord, and thank you for the pastor that we have. We pray that everybody would support him and just keep him in mind that he has a lot of work to do and that he has to do all of this work. And we pray that he has that strength, the willingness to do it. We just pray, Lord, and thank you for all your wonderful blessings
yes.
that you bestow upon us. We pray for the pastor to preach the gospel message to us so that we would live and grow there and by it. We ask all this in Jesus, our Lord and Savior's precious name. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated.
So a few little announcements. I got to correct something I said in Sunday school. I put a card over here. Some have already signed it. There's this card over here from Brother Rudy McGowan. His daughter passed away this past week. He's a friend of Jason, a co-worker of Jason's. I believe I said she might have died. She died of a drug overdose. So keep Rudy in prayer. Keep Jason in prayer that God will give him some open doors to talk with him. I know it's hit him really hard. I can't imagine having to deal with that. So just pray for him. If you feel led, Lord, come on up here and sign this card after services. I'll try to get that to Jason by this week here to where he can give it to Rudy. And just show him that we're praying for him and that we're here for him if he should need us. Also, if you're a member, you could stay after about 10 minutes afterwards. I'm going to hand out the ballots for you to vote for the bylaws. And then I got a little brown box back there. I'll explain it again. There's a little brown box back there where Naomi's sitting. You just put yes or no, however you want to vote on the bylaws, and just put it in that box there. We're going to leave that through tonight as well so that those that aren't here this morning can vote tonight. And so I'll do that afterwards, about 10 minutes after the morning service. And then if you continue to pray for us for our public outreach, 6 to 7 on Thursday evenings at Front Street and Pine Street. God's been good with it. We had 10 people come out this past Thursday to hold up signs. I believe God's doing something with it. When you get reactions, you know something's happening.
Right.
And so if it didn't bother you, you wouldn't get a reaction. But we're just trying to hold up Bible verses just that people would just think about their soul, where they stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're interested in coming out and helping us out, we'd love to have you. Again, 6 to 7 on Thursday night at Front and Pine Street here in Caddy. And we've had enough people to where we can move down a few other streets and blocks. So that's been a blessing. So if you'd like to come out or have any questions about it, please feel free to let me know. And also, please pray for Miss Janet. Miss Barb brought her up to me. I'm going to try to reach out to her and her son this week and maybe go out and visit her. So please continue to keep her in prayer as well. Amen.
All right. You know, I'm so thankful that we're saved by the blood. Amen. You know, a lot of churches out there today, and a lot of them are Baptist churches, are taking the blood out of the hymnals. That's a scary thing. That's a scary, scary thing. I praise God for a church like this that preaches the Word of God. Unashamed. But I'm also glad that all my sins are under the blood, but I'm just thankful for a Savior who hides me in the cleft of that rock. Let's turn to 524 this morning. We'll all stand and sing together. 524. He hideth my soul. 524. And then keep your finger there, because as soon as we get done singing that song, I want you to flip right to the front cover. Just open the hymnal, and you'll see a song, your song D, Spirit of the Living God. Brother Jason, I'm going to ask you, just give us a note on that one, and we're going to sing it a cappella, or acapulco, whichever term you prefer. Let's just see. Here we are. 860.
Spirit of bread and the leaves to y'all.
Gladly bear, then he'll call. This morning, are you willing to put the flesh on the cross this morning? You know, there's two ways you can go with that song. You can get excited about it because of what Jesus Christ can do for you, but then you should be sobered out a little bit because of what it requires. You understand on that one there? You can get excited about what Jesus Christ done for you. Be thankful, glorify Him because He went to that old rugged cross to shed His blood to take away your sins. But then on the opposite end of that, it should sober you out because that's what He requires for you to do as well. Getting that cross ain't a pretty thing. Putting that flesh on the cross ain't a pretty thing. Being willing to go to the cross, you see, when you go to the cross, you realize you ain't coming back. Listen, if we lived underneath Roman occupation and they brought you a cross and they put it on your shoulders and they said, carry it, you ain't going back home. You going to die, and that's the end of it. And you see, that's what the Lord Jesus Christ requires of your flesh. It says, take up your cross and follow me. But you know what? Too many Christians today say, I'm going to set the cross aside. I'll glorify Jesus on the cross. But what He requires me to get on it with Him, I'm not going to do so. Why? Because I want to live my own life. I want to do what I want to do. But the Bible says you're bought with a price. You're not your own. Listen, if you're born again believer this morning, you're not your own this morning. You have been bought with a price, and that price was the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to set you free, not for you to have liberty to live as you want to live, but how He desires for you to live this morning. And it's kind of what we're going to look at this morning. Take your Bibles, look at Romans chapter number 1, Romans chapter 1. And the Lord kind of had me shift gears a little bit. I know probably about 4 or 5 weeks ago now, we had a missionary in 1 week, then we had an evangelist in the next week, and then I went a little different direction last week. But I know I said about 4 or 5 weeks ago I'd be starting a study in Exodus, but God had me shift gears on that thing, and instead I'm going to be going through the book of Romans. I'm going to go through the book of Romans and see what God has in store for us. You see, like I said during the Sunday school hour, God has given us victory through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said this in Sunday school, we're more than overcomers. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now listen, in our society today, listen, it is rampant. It is so rampant, it's not even funny. Of individuals needing mental health. There are so many jobs online right now. If you look for mental health or behavioral health individuals, there's so many jobs out there. It's not even funny for those that are suffering with mental health issues. From fear to anxiety to depression to sorrow to grief. But I'm here to tell you this morning that hope and help can be found in the Word of God if you apply it. You see, it does no good to have a hammer and a nail unless you pick up the hammer and the nail and you use it. It does you no good to have a Bible, and it does you no good to this extent to read it and then not apply what it says. There's a lot of us, we want God to do the work where God will do His part, but He also expects you to do your part. And if you don't do your part, He's not coming through on His part because, listen, He expects you to do what He's saying to do. Now, God will help. God will help. But God expects you to walk in what He's revealed to you in His Word. Now, look at Romans chapter 1, verse number 1. Look what the Bible says. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which He had promised aforetime by His prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Now, I'm not preaching on this verse this morning, but look at that. You want power with God? It comes by the Spirit of holiness. You know one thing that's missing in churches today? Holiness. Holiness. Very few churches today, I guarantee, across this land are going to preach holiness. But Jesus said, the Bible says, and Peter, be holy as I am holy. God requires holiness. And he desires to have holiness in our life, and that's where the power lays. Verse number 5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom all are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord, that we had the opportunity this morning, Lord, to lift up our voices to give you glory, honor, and praise, for you're worthy of it. And Lord, I ask now that you would just meet with us. Lord, I pray you'd keep the enemy at bay. Lord, I pray you'd open our ears. I pray you'd open our hearts. I pray you'd open our minds, Lord, to receive what your Holy Spirit would have for us this morning. Lord, that we can walk out these doors and have power in our Christian walk and not just be lame ducks. God, help us to walk with you. Help us to draw closer to you. Help us to love you more. Help us to take up our cross daily and follow you and put this flesh to death and the lust thereof, dear God, that we can have power with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says here in Romans chapter 1, verse number 1, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. The first thing we see here about the Apostle Paul and what he states, the very first thing the Apostle Paul states, it states that he is a what? A servant. Do you see that this morning? Paul says here in Romans, listen, everybody wants to have the power and walk that Paul had, but listen, they don't want to go what he went through. But look what he says. He says, Paul, a servant of who? Jesus Christ. You see this morning, if you are a born again believer, you ought to be a servant of Jesus Christ. And not only a servant of Jesus Christ, but a servant one to another. You know what minister means? Minister means that if I am your minister, that means I minister to you, not you to me. A lot of preachers got that thing upside down. They expect the congregation to minister to them. But if they're a true minister, they are to minister to the congregation and to the sheep. I ought to be your servant. Do you understand this morning? I ought to be your servant. And we ought to be servants one to another. But that takes abasing pride and putting self off to the side and saying, Lord, not my will be done, but your will be done. But too many people today in churches, they're concerned about themselves and their own advances and how they can go forward with God in their own walk rather than just being a servant. A servant means this: a person, male or female, who attends another for the purposes of performing menial offices for him, or is employed by another for such offices or for other labor. You say, preacher, I want something to do in the church. Well, are you willing to come here and clean a toilet? I want to do something great for God. Are you willing to come clean a toilet one week? Do you understand me this morning? Oh, preacher, I asked to do something great for God. How about you clean the toilet? How about you not only clean the toilet, but you clean it well? Well, preacher, that's below me. Oh, really? What about Jesus Christ, who came to dwell among sinful men for you and I, who rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, who was crucified, who was spit upon, who had a crown of thorns platted on his head, who was mocked, who was whipped? That's below me, preacher. I'm afraid you won't get very far with God then. I'm afraid, listen, until you woman humble down and clean that toilet, I'm afraid you ain't going to get very far with God. You say, preacher, you say it again and again, I'll clean that toilet. I'll clean that toilet for the glory of God. You know what? There's some Christians that need to get on down there and clean some toilets, and a bunch of them, and a bunch of nasty toilets. Why? Because they realize that they're no better than that dirty, nasty toilet. We're so lifted up with pride. We're so arrogant. We're so full of ourselves. God says you're nothing but dung, glorified dirt. And I have given you the breath of life to breathe this morning, and you're taking advantage of it because you think you're something. And Jesus says you're nothing without me this morning. So how dare you say that? That's the truth. We're no better than a dirty toilet in God's eyes. Our sin is a stench in his nostrils. Some caught up in pornography, it's a stench in the nostrils of Jesus Christ. Some caught up with worldly music, it's a stench in the nose in the nostrils of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Sin is a reproach to God. But there's no churches no more preaching on sin. You see, you got this COVID thing going on, and more people were concerned about keeping their hands clean, concerned about catching that thing, but they're ate up with sin. And sin will damn you. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God has made a way out for us, but there is no place for sin in the eyesight of God. You know why churches have no power this morning? Because there's sin in the believers' lives, and they have yet to make it right. And they feel like they can come into church, they can skate by, they can put the smile on, they can put the tie on, they can put the dress on, they can put the makeup on, shake hands, how you doing? Good. But God knows the heart. Why is there no power? Because we've allowed sin to rule in our lives rather than the power of God. We put more stock on what Dr. So-and-so says or what this book says or what this I saw on television or what movie I watched here rather than what the Bible says. There's very few preachers out there today. I'm not saying there ain't out there, but there's very few of them out there that preach on sin this morning. God hates sin. And you want to quench the Spirit of God, just allow sin to rule and reign in your life. Paul says here, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. He says, I'm a servant. He says, I'm a minister of Jesus Christ, and I'm willing to go forward and do the most low, base offices that God may require of me. Well, I won't go to a homeless man because he stinks. You stink too. You understand? Brethren, we're missing something today. We're missing something today. We're missing humility. I was talking to a brother this week, and I said, brother, I said, you know what I put the emphasis on? And I put the emphasis on it. The more I live, the more I know, I'll put more emphasis on. You know what God puts the emphasis on? Humility and faithfulness. Humility and faithfulness. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Humility. Paul says here, he says, I'm a servant. We are to serve God only. Take your Bible, look over at Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 10. Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 10. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 10. You know why a lot of people today are dealing with depression? You know why they're dealing with anxiety? Because their sin sickness has not been dealt with. You see, this world is trying to provide all the answers for something that it cannot solve. And that's sin. You can take all the medication you want to take. You can drink all the alcohol you want to drink. You can smoke all the pot you want to smoke. You can take all the drugs you want to take. But it's not going to take away the burden of sin. Only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can take care of that. You're fighting and you're struggling with something this morning. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can take that battle away if you'll allow him. Look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 10. Look what the Bible says here. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Paul said he was a servant of Jesus Christ, and Jesus tells here to Satan, he says, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. You know the only one you're supposed to serve this morning if you're saved is the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to ask the Lord every morning, Lord, help me to put this flesh, help me to put this flesh, help me to put my desires, help me to put what I want on that cross of Calvary, Lord, and help me to walk forward with you. Next, we're to serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Take your Bible, look over at Psalm chapter number 2 and verse number 11. Psalm 2, verse number 11. You know why there's a lack of power? because we're not servants that fear and tremble at our Lord. He's a holy God. He's a God to be feared. He's a God to be reverenced. He's the God to be magnified. He's a God to be glorified. Look at Psalm chapter 2 and verse number 11. Look what the Bible says here. It says, "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." We are to fear God and we're to rejoice with trembling. Now take your Bible and flip over to Proverbs chapter 1 real quick. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 20. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 20. I glorify and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ this morning because he's the creator of all things. Listen, I raised my hands this morning during a song service to glorify the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The one that inhabiteth eternity. Do you realize this morning who you came to sing to is the one that inhabits eternity? Do you not think this morning that he cares for you this morning, that he desires to help you this morning, the one that inhabits eternity? He loves you. He cares for you. Allow the Lord Jesus Christ to work in your life. I said this morning in Sunday school. There's too many individuals today who are trying to be like and to do like Jesus Christ rather than allowing him to work through them. You see, the more you struggle and try to do it yourself, the more you're going to realize you can't do it. You need to allow God to work through you. That's where the power lies. But that takes death to self. Look at Proverbs 1 verse 20. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the opening of the gates, in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge." Wisdom's crying out, and she asks these questions. Then wisdom says in verse 23, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." How are you going to know? How are you going to understand? How are you going to get knowledge? By turning at the reproof that God puts forth in your life. You see, reproof brings growth. How do you handle a reproof? How do you handle being reproved? How do you handle being corrected? Do you buck up at it? Do you resort to an excuse? Do you run the other way? Or do you submit to the reproof of the Holy Spirit of God? "Yes, Lord, I'm guilty. I'm the one in need in prayer. Yes, Lord, I need your help. Yes, Lord, I'll take it." Look at verse 24. Some of the scariest verses in the Bible are found in Proverbs chapter 1. Look what wisdom says next in verse 24. "Because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel." And look what it says next. "And with none of my reproof." You see, wisdom says, "I've called out. I put out my hand. I've tried to help you." And it says here in verse 25, "You would have none of it." Then look at verse 26. To me, one of the scariest verses in the Bible. Look what wisdom says next. "I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me." Do you see what wisdom's saying this morning? Wisdom says, I'm trying to reprove you. I'm trying to correct you. Wisdom saying, I'm trying to help you. I'm calling out from the chief concourses of the city, from the gates. My voice is going forth to try to help you this morning. My hand is outstretched, but you disregarded it. You put it aside. You wanted nothing to do with it. You then realize when you're distressed and your calamities and your anguish and your struggles and your fights come upon you, and then you realize you are without hope and you need help. And it says, wisdom says, then shall they call upon me, but I won't answer. They'll seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why won't wisdom answer them? Look at the next verse. Verse number 29. Why won't wisdom answer them? Verse 29. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Now listen to me now this morning. Paul was a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm giving you some keys that will get you a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Wisdom says here in Proverbs 1, for that they hated knowledge. Knowledge of what? Of who they are before God. God looks down and says, you're a sinner in need of a Savior. You can do nothing without me, Jesus Christ says. And man says, no, I can do something without you. Man says, I got this. Man says, I can handle this. Man says, I got the intellect for this. And God says, you're a fool. You're a fool. You've rejected the counsel of God. This is the counsel of God this morning, brethren. Men and women have rejected the counsel of God. And they've gone their own ways, thinking they can handle it. And all of a sudden, when they finally realize they can't handle it, and they start knocking, and they start seeking, and they start trying to find, wisdom says, uh-uh. No, I ain't answering the door. I'm not delivering you now. Why? Because of verse 29, for that they hated knowledge, and did not choose to fear the Lord. Hold your hand there. Look over at Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. Say, preacher, what's the fear of the Lord? Because the Bible says there in Proverbs 1:29 that they did not choose to fear the Lord. Well, what's the fear of the Lord? Look at Proverbs 8:13. You'll get your definition. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. What's evil this morning? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The Bible says in Romans 1, verse number 1, it says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Well, how are you to be a servant of Jesus Christ? You grow in the grace and knowledge of Him. Well, what's some of the knowledge that we're to obtain? We're to have a fear of God. Well, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride. Look at the first thing it lists. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then it states pride, arrogancy, and the evil way. And the froward mouth do I hate. Well, I ain't got to listen to you. Oh, who are you to tell me what to do? That's a froward mouth. Bible says, God says, I hate that. God says, I hate pride. I hate arrogancy. I hate the evil way. I hate the froward mouth. These things do I hate. Proverbs chapter 1 back there real quick. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. Look at verse 30 again. The answer continues on and why wisdom won't answer them. Look at Proverbs 1, verse 30. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Verse 31 then. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning of the way of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. You know what's going to destroy America today? Or what is destroying in the process of destroying the United States of America today? We're a bunch of fools that are prosperous. What does a fool say? A fool says there is no God. A fool makes a mock at sin. Just come on out here on a Thursday night and hold up a sign and see if there's no fools out there that make a mock of you. A fool makes a mock of sin. A fool says there's no God. A fool is wise in his own concepts and his own ways. A fool can't keep his mouth shut. Look at how many people out here today on social media and everywhere. They can't keep. Everybody's got something to say. Everybody's got something to say. Everybody's got an opinion. And you know what the Bible says? That the last church age we're in, it's Laodicea. And you know what Laodicea means? It means the rights of the people. I have a right to say what I want to say. I have a right for you to hear what I got to say. No. No, as a Christian, As a Christian, you ought to walk meek and lowly as a Savior. Meek and lowly as our Savior. We don't like meek and lowly, though, because we can't live in pride that way. But the Bible says in Proverbs 1, "For the turning away the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." This country is going down. You understand this morning? I'm surprised this country is still going the way it is today, July 24th, 2021. I'm surprised the carpet hasn't been pulled out yet. I'm surprised that God's mercy, God's long-suffering, God's graciousness, that we can still go to Walmart or wherever you shop, and there's still shelfuls of food you can choose from this morning. I'm surprised this morning that we can get in our cars and have liberty to go where we want to go this morning, to come to church, that there's no persecution, that our financial system is still up and running. I'm surprised at it. Brethren, right now, it's just nothing but smoke and mirrors with our economy. Smoke and mirrors. The dollar bill means nothing. The only one keeping this thing afloat in our country today is God. He is the only one keeping this thing afloat. Think of the reproach before God, the stench in his nostrils with sodomy alone. Read about Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you realize this morning how gracious and long-suffering God is, to where he just doesn't come down and just wipe this whole thing out? Do you know how many kids this morning are being abused and nobody knows about it? How many young boys and young girls are being sexually abused right now and nobody knows about it because it's hidden? And God sees it, yet God's still long-suffering, to where he doesn't bring the punishment down upon the guilty. We're a wicked nation. I love my country. I was in the military. I'll stand up. I'll put my hand on my heart. I'll say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I would fight for my country. I would die for my country. But that doesn't negate the fact that our country right now is wicked. Our country has spit in the face of God. We turned our back on him and we said, we got this. And I'm surprised that God says, okay, and he's still letting us do our thing. You see, brethren, listen to me this morning. Now's the time to get in with God. Now's the time to get in with God. Now's the time to grow in your faith. Now's the time to grow in grace. Now's the time to grow in the Holy Spirit of God. Now's the time to learn as much Bible as there is to learn, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. Listen, it's almost like a rope that's down and holding the United States. It's almost like taking a knife, and we're on the last few little strands before this thing just falls apart. You say, this is not nice this morning. No, this is very nice. This is a very nice message this morning, because what it should do is should provoke your spirit to get back with God. Amen. Get away from the television, get away from the programming, get away from this world, and set your eyes and your affections on things above, where Christ inhabiteth eternity. Paul, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to serve the Lord with gladness. The Bible says in Psalm 100, verse number 1 through 5, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with singing." We're to serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. Take your Bible and look at Joshua chapter 24. I'm almost done this morning. Stick with me for a few more minutes. Joshua 24. How are we to serve the Lord? Because Paul was a servant of Jesus Christ. Look at Joshua, the book of Joshua, and chapter 24, and look at verses 14 and 15. Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. Joshua 24, verse. Look at verse 12. Joshua 24, verse 12. This is the Lord talking to the children of Israel. Look what the Lord says, verse 12. And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. Verse 13. And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do you eat. Now look at verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and to put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. You see what Joshua, what the Lord's saying here to the nation of Israel? God's saying, listen, I brought you in a land that you had nothing to do with. I brought you into cities that you didn't build. I brought you into homes which you didn't build. I brought you in a land where you can eat of things that you didn't plant. So that you realize that that everything you have is because of me. Do you realize this morning, listen, I'm almost done. Do you realize this morning that everything you have is because God's allowed you to have it? Do you realize that if you have a good job, and you have, listen, some people, this is just a fact, I'm not putting nobody down, some people are smarter than other people. You don't want me building a rocket ship. You don't even want me building a doghouse. Right? I can build you a doghouse, but I don't know if the dog's going to want to go in it. Right? I don't have those skills. There's some men in this room right here that are geniuses with their hands and building something. There's a brother in the Lord that I know that he can take a bunch of metal with wires and everything else, and he can manufacture and make a machine that builds something. I can barely put toast in a toaster. Do you understand me this morning? Listen, God has not given me that gift. I can't build nothing. I'm not an electrical engineer. I'm not any kind of engineer. But there's some in here that God's given you that talent and has given you the mind to do some amazing things. But do you realize this morning that the only reason you have it is because God's given it to you? Do you understand? Everything you have is because God has given it to you. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? Are you using what God has given you, your specialties, the things that you're good at? Are you using them for the glory of God or to pocket your own wallet? Now, I'm not a preacher to ask for no money. That's one of the reasons I come to this church, because we don't pass a plate. There's some churches out there that do that. That's on them. I don't like it. You want to give money? There's a box back there. Give it. If you don't give it, God will still take care. You say, preacher, what happened if you have enough money to pay for this building? Then I guess we're meeting in my house. I'm not worried about money. I'm not here for your money. If you don't want to give to God, don't give to God. That's between you and him. But my question is, what are you doing with the talents God's given you? If you're able to make quick money because you have the Midas touch and everything you do turns to gold, use it for the glory of God. 1 Timothy chapter 6 talks about how rich individuals ought to handle their funds. Read it. I believe it's 1 Timothy chapter 6 talks about the latter part of that chapter. There's some people out there that are godly that have money, but God says, use it for my glory and my honor. Well, what should I do with it? Ask God. I don't want to know. I don't need to know. It's none of my business. If you're good talking to people, use it for the glory of God. There's some of you in here, you could talk to a wall. Use it for the glory of God. Some of you are laughing because you know who I'm talking about. I do better to talk to the wall than the individuals. That's not my specialty. Now, I try to talk to people because I'm a pastor and pastors ought to talk to people, but that's not my nature. What I'm saying this morning, brethren, you all have something you can do for the glory of God. Every single individual sitting here this morning that's saved, that's born again, that's been converted, that has the Holy Spirit of God dwelling within them, you can do something for God and for His glory and for His honor and for His majesty. Yes. What are you going to do with what God's given you? Are you willing to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing rather to serve Him than your own flesh and your own desires? Lastly, we are to serve the Lord with a perfect heart and a willing mind. Take your Bible and look at 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 8 and 10. We are to serve God. Listen, as I look at this last point this morning, as we're looking here in Romans chapter 1, as we're looking at this last point this morning, listen, God doesn't want you to serve Him because you feel like you're being forced to do so. God wants nothing to do with it because you think you're forced because you have to do it. God wants you to do it because you want to do it. Yeah. Now look at this. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 28 verses 9 and 10. First Chronicles chapter 28 verses 8 and 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 8 through verse 10. Now listen, this is where David had a desire to build a temple or a house for the Lord, but he wasn't allowed to build it because he was a man of blood. He shed much blood, and God told David, listen, you can't build it, but I'm going to allow your son Solomon to build me a house. But look what's said here in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verses 8 through 10. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou that the God of thy father, and look what it says, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Now I want you to put your name in there this morning. The Bible says that you are the temple of the living God if you're saved this morning. You are the temple of God this morning if you're saved. Your body is the temple. Now put that in respect to what God says here to David and Solomon. He says to in verse 9, and serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. Why? Because the Lord searches the hearts and he understands all the imaginations of thoughts. Listen, right now, God knows exactly what you're thinking. Right now. God knows exactly what you're thinking and what you're imagining. Therefore, Solomon gets a warning in verse number 10. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. I'm going to close with this right here. Paul, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to see the work of the Lord be built? I desire for the work of the Lord to be built as he sees fit. But what's it going to take? It's going to take a servant heart. It's going to take a willing mind. It's going to take a desire to want to love God in sincerity and truth. It's going to take a desire to serve him with gladness no matter what we're going through. It's going to take a heart that wants to serve God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Be strong and do it. Be strong and do it. Are you willing to be a servant this morning? This church, Ray Street Baptist Church, to the members of this church, God needs some servants. Servants that are willing to do the most menial task that no one ever notices or sees. You see, I'm going to give you a clue here real quick. But the Lord talks in the book of Matthew when you're supposed to give your alms, which is your giving to the Lord. The right hand's not supposed to know what the left hand's doing. The left hand's not supposed to know what the right hand's doing. But there is one who does see. You see, if you do something and nobody ever notices it, nobody ever recognizes it, nobody ever sees it, God sees it. And God will reward you openly someday for your willingness to be a servant. I'm going to close with this thought. If you're not even willing to clean a toilet, then don't think you're going to try to do great things for God. Now, I'm not saying this for, what's the word I'm looking for? An advertisement for the month of August. I'm not saying that. But in the month of August, Lord willing, August 1st, well, I don't know what the first Sunday is in August, but we're going to put a little sign-up sheet back there. On that far bulletin to the far right on the bottom right now, there's a sign-up sheet for mowing. To the top of that, I'm planning on putting a sign-up sheet for cleaning. I think those are important tasks. Amen. You say, some people say, well, preachers shouldn't mow. Well, I like to mow, number one, but number two, I think it helps keep me humble. See, listening, there was a story one time told me of a brother. He went on this camping trip for a men's retreat with a certain church. And he said they got up to the cabin and they were up there for a couple days, and it was a bunch of men. So you know this happens when it's a bunch of men. Nobody wants to do the dishes. And there was a bunch of dishes in the sink. And said somebody said something to the preacher, come on, let's go wash these dishes. The preacher says, no, I don't wash dishes. Guess I'll be finding another church. Brethren, I wouldn't ask you nothing that I wouldn't do myself. I'd be more than willing to clean some toilets with you. You know why? Because it'd keep us humble. You know what? Sometimes what some churches need, they need a good foot washing. That's not an ordinance of a church, I know. Some churches need it, though. Bring a little humility. You washing your brothers and sisters' feet. One thing I appreciate about my church, I appreciate the idea came from over in Papua New Guinea from a missionary over there, Wayne Fair. He would teach some of those nationals over there. They'd go through a little Bible institute, and when they graduated, before they went out as preachers, he had them wash each other's feet. To realize and have them always remember you're a servant. And you know what my preacher did? What he implemented in our church? If you're going to be called out as a missionary or a preacher, you know what you're going to do first before you're ordained and put forth? You're going to wash all the brothers in the Lord. You're going to wash their feet. And all the sisters in the Lord, your wife's going to wash their feet. You know what that does? You know what that does? That breaks down walls and that makes a church even closer as a family. I've seen tears, people automatically get broken because they realize what they got to do, and there's been animosity, and there's been hatred, and there's been strife there for years, but when you had to get down and wash that individual's feet, all of a sudden it disappeared and broke, and God got in it. We're too ate up with pride today. Oh, preacher, I could never wash somebody's feet. Yeah, because you're too prideful. You're too prideful, and you ain't getting over God either with that type of attitude. God desires brokenness. God desires brokenness. You say, preacher, I'd never wash somebody's feet. Would you allow Jesus to wash yours? Listen, I'm almost done. Listen to me. You're talking about the King of Kings, the one that inhabiteth eternity, and he took upon himself a robe and a basin, and he washed his disciples' feet. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords washed his creation's feet. You want power with God? Be willing to get down and wash somebody's feet. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Lord God, I love you. Lord, help us, dear God. Help us, dear Lord God. God, help us, Lord, as the hymn said, pride I abase. Lord, help us, Lord, this morning, Lord, if we're lifted up with pride, if we're lifted up with arrogancy, if we're lifted up with a forward mouth, Lord, your word says in Proverbs, those things, dear God, you hate. Lord, you hate pride. But Lord, you'll lift up the humble. And Lord, I pray this morning, if that's the seed in somebody's heart this morning, I don't know, Lord, I have no clue, but if there's somebody here this morning, Lord, if their pride is eating them alive, Lord, if their envy is eating them alive, Lord, if there's bitterness, if there's strife, Lord, in someone's heart this morning, Lord, I pray you'd help them with it. God, I pray that they crucify that thing on the cross of Calvary. Lord, help us as a church, dear God, help us to have power with you through the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, that we can be a light, that we can be a testimony to this crooked and perverse nation that we live in. Dear God, that Ray Street Baptist Church could be that light, that bright and shining light on the hillside for those that are looking for truth and help this morning. But Lord, it takes us getting humble with you. It takes us getting broken with you. Lord, it takes us putting ourselves aside and allowing you to work through us. Lord, help us to take heed to your word. And Lord, help us always to glorify you and for what you've done for us. And Lord, we love you this morning. And I ask that in all these things, Lord, you receive the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother, what's that hymn, Pride I Abase? They might know that hymn, Pride I Abase. What is it, Melanie? I'm only a sinner. Let's sing that one. What page is that on? Does anybody know? I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Page 342 in your blue hymn book. If you please stand, if you'd like to stand, if you can't, you can stay seated. But if you'd like to, please stand. Page 342, only a sinner saved by grace.
Realizing how much you've done for us, Lord. Just providing everything for us in life, loving us, showing us mercy, showing us grace. Lord, providing your Son to take our place on the cross, Lord. Yes. Lord, we are only a sinner saved by grace, Lord. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ and His shed blood, Lord, we'd have no chance of eternity in heaven with you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for that sacrifice that Christ made. Lord, I pray we don't ever take that for granted. I pray that every single day, Lord, we think about that. Think about how we were bought and the price that was paid for us, Lord. Help us to not waste our time here on earth. Help us to not get to heaven just skating through our life here, Lord. But help us to use this time that you've given us to reach the people in this community. To reach the people in our family. To reach the people at our jobs. Lord, and to love each other.
Amen.
Help us to pray for each other, support each other, be there for each other, Lord, to pick each other up when we're down, and to rejoice when things are going well. Lord, we thank you for church. We thank you for meeting with us, Lord. I pray that you keep us safe as we travel home this afternoon, Lord. I pray you bring us back here again tonight. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would meet with us, speak to us, and challenge us, Lord. Help us to learn how to yield ourselves to you, that you could use us, Lord. And we just thank you for what you'll do. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Brother, love you. Dismissed. We'll go and see you tonight. Members, just hang on another 10 minutes. I'll hand out the balance.